Folk John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. 2 weeks from today, we will be at Kitchen Notes, Omni Nashville Hotel. Of course, back to our pre-pandemic schedule, Bill King Show, our show, the first Friday of the month, here on out. We're going to be down at Kitchen Notes. How about that, man?
I'm excited. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun summer down there, hanging out with the people.
Yep. We're booked all the way through. We're scheduled all the way through the end of the year.
I'm very excited for it. It's going to be great.
Danny Brewer, a good buddy. He is a member of the college, not the College Football Writers Association, which is good, but not pertinent to this discussion.
Right, right. Anyway, doesn't really apply here.
But thank you. But he is a member of the Turf Publicist of America and a voter on the National Thoroughbred Polls published by the National Thoroughbred Racing Association, horseracingscoop.com, and on Twitter at Sports Brews with a Z, Sports Brew. Danny, what's up, man?
Morning, Danny.
What's going on, Pokester? How in the world are you, boys?
Doing good.
Morning. Good, man. How are you?
Doing good. I got a theory. That this is the layman in me on why Rich Strike is not in the Preakness after winning the Derby from left field. His value right now on the stud market is at an all-time high. If he goes to Preakness and lays an egg and finishes last, does that diminish his value in the stud fee market?
Pokester, I think one of the things that's probably most obvious about you is your high level of intellect. I think you're absolutely right about that. I think that the Preakness is not a race that sets up well for a horse like Rich Strike. So I think you're right. The Belmont, which that's what they said, is, hey, we're going to train up for the Belmont, and that is a race that certainly does suit his running style much, much better.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously Rich Strike was such a long shot to win the Derby, got in late, got in the field late. Disappoint. I mean, I understand from a business standpoint, but, you know, is the fan in you a little bit disappointed that, you know, we're not going to see a horse at least try for the Triple Crown?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, as a lover of the sport, you know, you want what you think is best for the sport, and that's competition. So, yeah, if you got a Derby winner, man, sure you want to run in the Preakness because you never know. And any time, the thrill of the Triple Crown is that's what kind of drives this three-year-old season, you know, in the spring of every year, is the thought of having a Triple Crown winner. And whenever there's no chance, because if he runs, there's a chance. If he's not running, there's no chance. And so when there's no chance of a Triple Crown winner, yes, as a lover of the sport, that does serve as a little bit of an attraction.
Hey, we've had more Triple Crown winners here recently. We had a long drought with it.
Yeah.
Is it the breeding now to the kind of horses not suitable for the run, those three races at a five-week period? Of course, the Derby, 2 weeks later, the Preakness, 3 weeks later, the Belmont. In general, the way the horses are bred and everything right now, does that make it more difficult or easier? Well, that's a maybe more likely, let's call it that way, to have a Triple Crown winner.
I think that in old days, yes, that it was, you know, you ran horses more. That was just how it was. You know, they would run because there were horses who would run the Derby trial the week before the Kentucky Derby, and there were horses who would win the Derby trial, then they would run the Kentucky Derby, and there was a couple of them that won the Kentucky Derby also. Now, you know, there's very seldom do you see horses run off a one-week break. You know, most of it happens, but not very often. So, yes, the breeding has set it up where they don't seem to be as durable, and of course they're worth a whole lot more money now, and people don't want to run the risk of injury or things like that. So yes, that has certainly changed the game a lot in recent times. So it is much more difficult to get a Triple Crown winner.
Danny Brewer is our guest. All right, obviously it looks like Epicenter is the heavy favorite to win. What are some other horses that you may want to look at in terms of maybe, you know, putting a wager on?
Okay, so Epicenter, you're right. He is, and been good with good reason. I mean, you know, he should have won the Derby. You know, he ran a winning race in the Derby. I don't think he saw Rich Strike coming up, so I think that he kind of snuck in there on him. So, but I'm going against him here.
Hmm.
I'm liking Secret Oath. That's who I like. The Kentucky Oaks winner. You know, interesting enough, there have been two fillies in recent times who have won the Preakness. You had 2020, you had Swiss Skydiver, and in 2009, Rachel Alexandra, one of the greatest three-year-old females there's ever been. So I think Secret Oath has a real chance here, and it's because of how the race sets up. Epicenter wants to be out front. Armagnac, who's a Tim Yak team horse who's coming in here, he wants to be out front. Early voting, Chad Brown horse, he wants to be out front. So I think we have a hot early pace. Secret Oath will stalk. And then I think with that big, long stride and those big, long legs she's got, she's going to get her. She's like a ZZ Top song. She's got legs and she knows how to use them. So I'm going with Secret Oath in here. And she's 9-2. Wayne Lucas, he's won 6 Kentucky Oaks. This could be his record-breaking 7th Kentucky Oaks, or record tying, I should say, because Bob Baffert's won 7 also. So he could tie for the lead in previous wins with Secret Oath here. So that's who I like, is Secret Oath. And there's a couple of other horses I like. I know Pokeser, he usually likes to play a little bit of a longer shot on it. Pokeser, who are you liking in this thing?
Whoever you tell me.
All right, Pokeser. Well, here's the one, because I gave you Ron Bauer last year. Creative Minister, Kenny McPeak horse. He won on Derby Day, actually. Creative Minister ran a higher equibase number in his race than Rich Strike did in the Kentucky Derby. He had a 107, and I don't know how they figure those up. It's more math than old Smyrna Boy can do. But Creative Minister had a 107 for his race on Derby Day. Rich Strike was a 106. So Creative Minister, he's won 2 in a row. Kenny McPeak train, Hernandez is riding him. I like Creative Minister. He's 10-1 on the morning line right now. I think he'll probably be a little bit more than that. But there's your long shot right there, Creative Minister. And then if we're just going to throw somebody in there that could hit the board potentially, how about Happy Jack? You know, it's a Doug O'Neill. I talked to Doug O'Neill earlier in the week. Happy Jack come out of the Derby in good shape. He's healthy. He's a late runner. And I think that this early pace will set it up good for Happy Jack. 9-horse field, not nearly the traffic to deal with. So it may be easier to come from off the pace and then hit the board in this one. So Happy Jack, there may be your deep bomber. That may be in your exotics where you want to play your trifecta, your superfecta, that kind of stuff.
Danny Brewer, horseracingscoop.com. Danny, the Preakness itself, just where it falls and the magnitude of the Kentucky Derby, the greatest, 2 minutes in sports. But the Preakness has been around since, the 1870s? But it always has that little sister field. But isn't the... Because it's the limit is 14, you've got 9. Isn't the Preakness usually more of an exclusive field than the Kentucky Derby?
Not necessarily. Now, here's what the Preakness people say. The Preakness people say they only run the Derby to determine who's good enough to run the Preakness. That's what the Preakness people say. What you have is because of the spacing of the races and how they don't like to run them as frequently. A lot of times you'll have a lot of the Derby horses who they just bypass the Preakness, and they just look toward the Belmont or toward other races later in the summer. So I think that in recent times, the Preakness has kind of fallen off a little bit as far as its exclusivity, So I think that there are some guys, Ron Bauer was a horse last year that he skipped the Derby to run the Preakness. He had won out west. In the El Camino Real Derby, and he wanted to. That gave him an automatic berth in the Preakness. So he just decided, "Hey, look, I'm going to skip the Derby. I'm just running the Preakness." But that doesn't happen very often. Not very often at all. So I think that maybe it's lost a little bit of its luster in recent times due to the spacing of the races and people not liking to run their horses as much.
And a 1 3/16. You'd think. Yeah, and I'm getting into history here. You'd think that each step would get longer. It's up to 1.5 miles at Belmont. It's 1.25 miles the Derby. Why is this one a 1/16 of a mile shorter?
Well, what I'm thinking is just because the spacing of the race.
Okay,
so you're coming back in two weeks.
Yeah.
You're coming back in 2 weeks. So we're going to lessen the distance just a little bit to make it more attractive to run your horse.
Danny, you were talking about some horses to look at. I'm looking at Early Voting, a 7-2 odds there. What do you know about that horse?
Early Voting, 2nd in the Wood Memorial, ran really strong. Front runner, like I said, Chad Brown trained. Chad Brown came in with Cloud Computing, I think in 2017 maybe, and won this race with a horse who didn't run the Kentucky Derby, who was Cloud Computing. He likes to be out front. If they leave him alone on the lead, watch out. Like I said, he's a top-notch horse. That, like I said, likes to be out front. So Early Voting, good horse. I think very likely to be in the money. You know, I just think that he's going to get run down at the wire, is what I think.
Is this race top heavy? Because I'm seeing a 9-2, a 7-2, a 6-5, Epicenter 6-5, early voting 7-2, Secret Oath 9-2. Is it top heavy?
Well, I think that what you've got here is you've got a smaller field, so you're not going to get, you know, the 20-1, 30-1, 50-1, 80-1. You're not going to have those type horses in here because there's only 9 horses in the field. So we've got less to deal with, so the money won't be quite as spread out. You've got, a couple of horses like that, Epicenter. I mean, he's definitely the class of the field. There's no doubt about that when you look at his record. But there's some other really good horses in here, too. You know, I mean, Secret Oath, I think she'll probably get bet down. I don't think she'll go off at 9-2. I think she'll likely be the second betting choice is what I think when all is said and done. Just because, like I said, of her running style and how the race can potentially set up.
And I know I'm talking bigger picture, everything. I've never been to Pimlico. I've been to Baltimore several times. I wish I would have thought to just go with what is just about, 6-7 miles from downtown Baltimore just to go check it out, or never been to Belmont. And, of course, but Pimlico in Churchill Downs, sort of the same right there, just in an old neighborhood, right? I mean, just, yeah.
Yes, the difference from now, I've never been to Pimlico either, but from what I understand, the difference is, the folks at Churchill Downs have invested heavily in that. That place is a palace.
Yes.
Now, yes, it's been there since the 1870s, but that Joker is a palace now. I don't think they've made many improvements at Pimlico over the years, from what I hear. And that's one of the things where there was even talk of them moving the Preakness from Pimlico just because of how the facilities have degraded.
Wow. All right, Danny. Give me, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, before that,
Danny,
just some trends here that I'm reading. The last time the favorite and the second choice ran, the favorite won and the second choice finished second at the Preakness was 1981. All right. What else do we have here? From 2001 to 2015, 8 of 15 favorites won the Preakness and only 3 finished out of the money. And in the last 6 years, only one favorite has won, 2018 Triple Crown winner Justify. In the same span, 2 have run out of the money. So just some little tidbits there for those that may want to put a wager on the weekend.
So you know what all that tells us?
What's that?
You just don't know.
That's why they call it betting, right?
That's right, exactly. That's why they call it gambling, you know?
Yeah.
So the thing is I think Epicenter is going to be in the money. If you want a slam dunk ticket, you bet Epicenter across the board. He's going to finish in the top 3, I feel like, just because of his quality. And I don't think that Asmussen would run him back. Steve Asmussen's trainer won more races in North America than any trainer ever. I don't think that he would run this horse if he didn't know he was absolutely right and sitting on go. So I think that Epicenter will certainly be in the money. He'll be in the top 3. I think Secret Oath is another horse that you play across the board. I think she's going to be there too. Like I said, she and Wayne Lucas, obviously he's 85. He won his first Preakness in 1980 with Codex. He knows what's up. I'm telling you, the guy, he's sharp as a tack still at 85. I mean, still very, very sharp. So he knows what's up. So, like I said, those two horses, if you play both those horses across the board, I think you'll cash 2 tickets. Now, if we're looking for a bigger payday, we're going to throw a couple of, we're going to put those two in our superfecta. And we're going to throw a couple of these bombers.
Happy Jack's one of them.
Happy Jack and Creative Minister. You know, we'll throw those two in there in our superfecta. Now, the superfecta in this race won't pay like the Derby superfecta because you're just not going to get the odds on these horses. You know, Epicenter went off at 4-1 in the Derby, or 4 or 5-1. He may never be 5-1 in his life again, depending on how things go, just because he's such a quality horse. So I don't think it'll pay. But it's still, it will pay. It'll pay something. It just won't pay like it would in the Derby. But there's our bomber loaded superfecta, Epicenter, Secret Oath, Happy Jack, and Creative Minister.
Danny. Danny, you're the man. You can read him at horseracingscoop.com. You can follow him on Sports Brew, Sports Z, Sports Brew on Twitter as well. And Danny, I'll be calling you because I need some help. So anyway, on this, but
we'll get Pat in this.
Go. What?
That's what John Burton says every morning. In his Pogue, you need help.
It's everybody
too often. Danny.
Yeah, and if anybody that want to help me, they need to get in line because there's various things that need to be worked on here. But I'm thinking about a dollar superfecta, right? That's a $24 bet.
Yep, sure is. Yep.
Epicenter, Secret Oath, Happy Jack, and Creative Minister. And then you're saying Epicenter and Secret Oath both across the board. Doesn't that negate one of those bets out though? Because they can't both win.
Yeah, they can both. Well, no, but let's say what we hope is that if Secret Oath goes off at longer odds, that she wins and Epicenter finishes second.
Right.
So you get the place and show money on Epicenter, and you'll get the win place and show
money.
Which is
not going to be much, right? Yeah. Pretty even money.
No, you know, it ain't going to be much, but it's silly.
I like your saying. What you're saying?
Back a horse and get paid.
Yes, sir. There you go. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate
you. Thanks, Danny.
You.
Enjoy the race.
All right, horseracingscoop.com. He knows it, man. Danny Brewer.
Yep.